Welcome to the Bulwark Podcast. I'm Charlie Sykes. Our special guest by popular demand, Tim Miller, who joins us from the left coast for our weekend podcast. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning, Charlie. I don't know if I'll be quite as sharp on the news of the day this week because I have been spending a lot of time with my stonk portfolio. You know, trying to bring 90s meme stocks to the moon so that we can fund a, you know, Bulwark group vacation or something like that. Or I don't know, I might lose the college fund. We'll see.
Okay. So that was a reference that I didn't even understand. So we're off to a great start because I was going to talk about the Jewish lasers and the other stuff and Matt.
I caught the Jewish lasers. Yeah.
We got to start with, I mean, here we are. Okay, we'll get to the Jewish. People know what I'm talking about with the Jewish lasers, right? Hey, before we do this, though, I want to thank all the listeners of the podcast. Sometime today, we're going to cross 32 million downloads. This will be the sixth straight month where we had more than 2 million downloads. And as a way of saying thank you, we are actually rolling out an offer. Well, I'm kind of rolling out an offer. Make sure to give out the right one. TheBulwark.com/Charlie. You will get a month free of Bulwark Plus if you subscribe. If you do subscribe, you go to that site and you have to give them your credit card. So, I mean, I'm not trying to do a bait and switch here, but we wanted to give people a 1 month trial membership, 30-day free trial. If you go to TheBulwark.com/Charlie. And obviously, since the only place you're going to hear about this will be this podcast, this is a special deal for podcast listeners. Okay, so Tim,
Charlie, really quick, sure. Is the Next Level podcast, which this Wednesday we spent a lot of time talking in great depth about the Trump family's prima nocta on the Republican Party.
Good. Yeah, yeah. And, okay, do people know what prima nocta is? Because we've already had too many references that people don't understand. I mean, this is good stuff. So could you briefly explain what prima nocta is?
And for those who saw Braveheart, they would remember. It's when the feudal lords on the first night of a wedding of a bride, even if she was a virgin, they get to take the bride from the plebes. And so the idea is that the Trump family will get to take Senate and House seats from the plebes. This is a JVL concept, of course, that I'm stealing, but
any member of the Trump family, I want that congressional seat. I want that Senate seat in the new Republican Party. They get to have it.
They get to take it. Yeah, yes. Exactly.
I'm sorry, Marco. This is going to be Ivanka's seat from now on. You can take a seat now, right?
Yeah, good luck next time.
This is great. This is really good stuff. Yeah, if you also subscribe to Bulwark Plus, you also get our newsletters, including my morning shot, which today is the GOP is fine with it. Starts off, you know, come for the Alice in Wonderland quote, and then we have lots of pictures, including the Mike McCarthy. See, it's planted in my mind. Mike McCarthy is the failed former Packer coach, not to be confused with the failing minority leader of the House Republicans, Kevin McCarthy, who comes in, sucks up to the Andy Pope down at Mar-a-Lago, you know, the subservient pilgrimage. And then we talk about the Jewish lasers, and I have some thoughts about Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Anyway, speaking of Kevin McCarthy, that's just an amazing picture, isn't it? I mean, I don't even know where to start. I mean, people have commented that they didn't realize that Donald Trump must have shared the same interior decorator with Saddam Hussein down at Mar-a-Lago. But the best moment...
Where was Uday and Kusei in that photo? Man. Were they behind the screen?
Well, so Brian Williams had a classic moment last night in the 11th hour. Our colleague and friend Bill Kristol was on to talk about this. And Brian Williams had some breaking news about this meeting between Kevin McCarthy and the disgraced former president.
Baratunde, I'd like to begin with you. And we're all about to see something. For the first time, we have what I'm told is the first video, exclusive video, out of this meeting today between McCarthy and Trump. We'll watch it and react on the other side.
I love you. You complete me. And I've just had...
Shut up. Just shut up. You had me at hello. You had me at hello.
That is obviously we have rolled the wrong clip, and we were sold a bill of goods here. I thought this was going to be of the McCarthy and Trump meeting, and someone's going to be, of course, in big trouble.
Brian Williams has entered a new stage of his career. He's just like all out of, you know.
Brian has been hot lately. You hate to give credit to a mega star like Brian Williams, but he's just been good. It's been good material.
That was just good. So since we're on Kevin McCarthy, I mean, I'm staring at it. I mean, it's looking at this picture, it all brings it together. I mean, 3 weeks after the attack on the Capitol, 2 weeks after the defeated, disgraced president was impeached for the second time, you know, there's Kevin McCarthy down there kissing the ring. Oh, I'm really sorry that I said you were responsible for inciting the riot that you incited. I'm really sorry for being critical of the fact that you were the source of the big lie that almost cost the lives of members of Congress. I'm really sorry, Mr. President. I mean, that's so kind of spoiler alert. The Republican Party has just completely, you know, is crawling back. I mean, it's the dog returning to its blank. Right, Tim? I mean, it's just...
There's so many ways I can go with this, Charlie. Yeah,
I know,
And so I'm just going to just, you know, kind of take out the semi and just go after everybody. I'm starting with you, because in our first Bulwark Plus live stream after the insurrection, I do think we had a disagreement where you were on the side that this was a big turning point moment for the Republicans and they might finally dump Donald Trump. I don't have the direct quote on that. Maybe Jim Swift can go to the archives, but... I'm pretty sure we had a disagreement on that one.
Keep hope alive, you know, because you know somebody needs to be a counterpoint to, you know, you and JVL going around dragging your ass. Oh, it's terrible. What are we going to be? Oh, you know. So I would say, hey, you know what? This would be a moment for people to say, this sucks. This is terrible. This turning around, and well,
it would have been, but it wasn't. Kevin,
Cheney, we were willing to stand up and say, you know, thus far and no farther.
That's true. Yeah. Next on my list is Kevin, because the funniest thing about that picture for me is the fact that I just don't even really believe that Kevin McCarthy is even going to be the Speaker of the House, even if he gets it. You know, even if this whole charade debasing himself of Donald Trump, you do remember that Kevin McCarthy before the 2016 election said he thought that Donald Trump was a Putin asset in a private meeting, that leaked out of a Republican caucus meeting. So this is a guy who thought that Donald Trump was in league with our enemies, for political advancement, got on board with him anyway. Then after that person tried to overthrow our democracy in the most literal way possible, in an effort that ended up causing the death of at least one policeman. He now is still crawling back to him again, all just for this political power that I don't know that he's going to get. I think that if it really came down to it and the Republicans took back the House, or even before that, that Jim Jordan, who decided that is not running for the United States Senate yesterday for the Rob Portman seat, would take it from him. I think that Jordan would win a speaker's election within the House caucus right now. Now, maybe McCarthy can hold on by the skin of his teeth. But I just think the funniest thing about all this is that, like, he's not the new man. You know, he's not a Trump man. Like, as much as he can try and fake it, you know, the MAGAs can smell it. They can sniff it on him. And he just doesn't have the scent. And so this pathetic display of fealty to a man that tried to end our democracy and turn it into a MAGA autocracy just 3 weeks ago. I think that just adds to how pathetic it is. And the final kind of group
that I would...
It does feel
pathetic too, right? It doesn't feel like this is not a strength move, right? This is not a, hey, you are a leader, my man, Kevin. You are the leader.
Even his own advisors, and I forget who reported this, but we're on background saying that they thought it looked weak. His own advisors. It's obviously a weakness move, because he can see his caucus fracturing right now, and he's trying to pull it back together. The last kind of thing that I just might take away from this, and I teased you at the start, but it's more serious in the sense of Mitch McConnell and all these other guys. There really was a 2 or 3 day window where people were shook by what happened, rightly. Mm-hmm. And where I think there was a desire to say, hey, things got out of hand. We need to move forward. And I think that, you know, obviously not everybody in the party would have been on board for that, but I think it would have been beneficial to have a cleansing and a fight over this matter. And it has only taken 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
For all of them to just decide, well, it wasn't that bad. I mean, just the one cop died that day. I mean, a couple more have committed suicide in the week since. And you know, I mean, he didn't actually overthrow our democracy. He just tried, you know, he just tried to pressure the Secretary of State of Georgia and the DOJ and sick a mob on the Senate. And, you know, while all of us were in danger, we weren't like really,
well,
really.
You know what? I want to stay with this point, except for one thing, Sam. I want to call the shot here since you keep a record of all this. You're probably right that Kevin McCarthy won't be the speaker if they take control, which I don't think is necessarily a sure thing considering the how strong the crazy is right now. But if they do, it would be a cuck move to put him in. I think that with the trajectory that we're on right now, even making Jim Jordan the speaker would be a cuck move, because you know who the next speaker is going to be. You know what the real MAGA play on this is?
Donald Trump Sr.
Donald Trump, absolutely. Jason Chaffetz. And are you old enough to remember when Jason Chaffetz was actually taken somewhat seriously?
Oh, I know. Me and Jason go way back. I hung out with him. Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, so he tweeted yesterday, perhaps when Republicans take over the House, they could elect Donald Trump Speaker of the House in 2022. Now, people need to know that you don't have to be a member of the House to be elected Speaker. They could name anybody. They could name you. They could name me. They could name Caligula's horse. They could name Donald Trump, right? So, and Jason Chaffetz is also one of these guys who, after the Access Hollywood video, said, I'm done. I could never explain to my daughter why I'm. And now he's.
Yeah, I mean, he was a Tea Party guy. You know, he was on the right. He was a rising star. But, you know, I did Huntsman's campaign, and he endorsed Romney, which was, there was some internal drama over that. But then, you know, after Romney won the primary and I went over on that side, we kind of made up. And he was a surrogate for Mitt, you know, the evil Mitt Romney, who is now, you know, out of the good graces of MAGA. And he was a fighter for me. And look, this guy is just your classic political striver. He looks to see what horse is the hottest and he wants to jump on it. And so, you know, now he goes over to Fox and he's trying to rebrand himself as the MAGA bandwagon. But this is the thing. In a Donald Trump world, like, all of this stuff you have to kind of take seriously, right? Because there is no serious governing.
No.
Caucus within the Republican Party, right?
Nobody wants to be out crazy right now. I mean, that's the problem. It's like leapfrog. Nobody wants to be, you know, have somebody be more crazy than they are, and therefore, you know, cuckified.
Exactly. Jason Chaffetz will not be cuckified with his daytime Fox News show that he got after he weirdly resigned from the House and never quite explained why.
So, I mean, we're at this moment now where, and I wrote this in my newsletter this morning. I mean, the reality is that Matt Gaetz is more representative of the state of the Republican Party today than Liz Cheney. In fact, Marjorie Taylor Greene is more representative of where the Republican Party is. I mean, Louis Gohmert, man as dumb as a box of hair, is more representative of where the Republican Party is going than, say, Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger or any of these other Republicans that we hold up, including Mitt Romney. And they are completely okay with it. And I think part of it is, you know, this, what's happened in the last 3 weeks is an indication of kind of something deeper that's happened in the Republican Party. By the way, I want to get into this because did you see the video that our colleague Barry Rubin did for the Republican Accountability Project? It's brilliant. And
I've seen it.
I think this is relevant to the discussion. Why has the Republican Party in 3 weeks decided they're going to forget what happened? They're going to forgive what happened. They just want to move on and appear to be completely unfazed. And part of it is that yes, Donald Trump was the liar in chief, and the he was the person who pushed the big lie and incited the riot, but he was not alone. And we talk about the Trumpification of the Republican Party. There's also the way in which conspiracy theories and the big lies, you know, pervaded this. So here's this little video. It's less than a minute, and it's put out by the Republican Accountability Project, and it's a montage of everybody else who had something to do with January 6th. Let's play the audio of that.
There was fraud.
Rampant fraud.
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 Dominion machines that were problematic.
I blame it all on Dominion.
The election was stolen.
Our election stolen from us.
Stolen.
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 President Trump won this election.
More bad behavior is what we need.
Call your congressman. You can lightly threaten them.
You got to go to the streets and be violent.
Let's have trial by combat.
Today, American patriots start kicking ass.
So, I mean, basically,
Who is the kicking ass quote?
Who was that? Was Mo Brooks?
That was Mo.
And you see the video, you see all of these folks, and I mean, it runs the gamut. I mean, there's Kevin McCarthy and all of there. I mean, there's a couple of things here. Number one, this is a political party that can't really push back on conspiracy theorists like Marjorie Taylor Greene because they've been buying into the conspiracy theories. They've been tolerating them. They've been pushing them themselves. Karen Tumulty had a great column this morning. She said Donald Trump's, gone, but he's left behind a new set of rules for Republicans. One of them is that words and deeds, no matter how reckless or disconnected from the truth, carry no consequences. And so there's no consequences for Donald Trump because they were in on it. And there can't be any consequences for Marjorie Taylor Greene, spoiler alert, because, look, they've been riding the QAnon train up until now. So, I mean, this is... I think that the last 3 weeks have been a revelation. And I say this as something, you and I have been saying there's no bottom, there's no bottom. We've been saying this for years now. And yet still, I think the last 3 weeks have been kind of a revelation.
Yeah, two things on that. Just on that point really quick. I maybe this is recency bias. And so I do want to check myself. Right. But there's a big part of me that thinks the last 2 weeks have been the worst.
Yeah, no, I agree.
For the non-Trump members of the party, that they have been even more disappointing and behaving even more badly than they did even during the Trump era. Just because of the gravity of what happened on the 6th, I didn't think I had any room left to be disappointed because my view of them had gotten so low. And somehow I'm still finding myself able to sort of dig beneath the concrete and find, even deeper depths of disappointment. As far as Matt Gaetz is concerned, he was one of those quotes in the video about how we need to behave badly.
Yeah.
His event yesterday, which I just got to watch a little bit of, I didn't watch the whole thing, in Wyoming, I think is the most telling thing that happened yesterday. Marjorie Taylor Greene has not been chastised publicly by any members of the Republican caucus except Adam Kinzinger. I'm almost certain that's true. Meanwhile, Matt Gaetz flew to Wyoming to hold a rally on the Capitol steps to wag his finger at Liz Cheney, call her a rhino, insult her, say she's not representing the voters, over simply her opposition to Trump's involvement in the insurrection. That's it.
Yeah.
I forget who said this, but it was somebody who's like, Liz, somebody on the left I was reading, like, Liz Cheney is a hardline conservative. And she is not, she is maybe more conservative than her dad. She is not a squish in any sense of the word on any policy matter. She is out of good standing with the party simply because she is willing to tell the truth about what happened on January 6th and live in reality and not in a MAGA fantasy world. That is her only apostasy. And she had one of the rising stars of the Republican caucus fly to her state to troll her over living in reality. Meanwhile, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene and the Jewish Lasers and all this, which we'll get into, get maybe a private talking to, maybe. I just think that contrast is the most telling thing about where things are. It's not even about policy. It's about reality.
No, No, I actually do agree with you about that. Those are my dogs out there who God knows what's going on here. Maybe the coyotes are around. We have coyotes around here. Did you know that out here in the Midwest?
How far are you out there in the woods?
We're out there. No, it's the turkeys, the deers, the coyote, and you never know. So, you know, normally my wife will keep them quiet during this period, but you never know. So anyway, the Marjorie Taylor Greene, should we talk about the lasers? Because I think this is interesting. I mean, here's somebody who has, you know, been engaged in all kinds of conspiracy theories. The school shootings were false flags. They were staged, all of that sort of thing. We have video of her, you know, yelling at David Hogg. She believes that Hillary Clinton engaged in satanic rituals with murdered babies. What is that called, by the way? There's actually a name for it.
Yeah, yeah. Can we talk about Frazzle Drip for a second?
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's Frazzle Drip, right?
Yeah, Frazzle Drip. It isn't just murder of the babies. And this is not – so in some of these things, Marjorie Taylor Greene's doing the just asking questions thing. Yeah, this was not one of those. This was a Facebook post where this was a direct accusation that the media is not covering this. And it was the belief that when the FBI confiscated Huma's laptop from Anthony Weiner, that there was a video of Huma and Hillary on it skinning the face of babies and then wearing the baby skin face as a mask for some sort of exfoliating benefits.
Yeah.
She believes that.
Yeah. She believes that.
Baby skin face masks. And also that Hillary and Nancy Pelosi plotted the school shootings any time that the fervor for gun control started to dissipate. That was another thing.
Why is it called Frazzle? Was it Frazzle?
Frazzle Drip?
What does that mean? The term. I get Pizzagate.
I haven't done a deep dive on the etymology of Frazzle Drip. Maybe I'll do that after this.
Okay, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a bigot. She's a conspiracy theorist. She's a truther. She's toyed with the idea of assassinating prominent Democrats. And today, you know, people are talking about this elaborate conspiracy theory that blames the so-called campfire, the massive forest fire in California back in 2018 on a laser beam fired from space by Jews, by Rothschild Incorporated. She wrote back in, she wrote a November 17th, 2018 Facebook post in which she said that she was speculating because there are just too many coincidences to ignore regarding the fire. She speculated that a vice chairman at Rothschild Inc., the international investment banking firm Jews, was somehow involved and suggested the fire was caused by a beam from space solar generators. If they are beaming the sun's energy back to Earth, I'm sure they wouldn't ever miss a transmitter receiving station, right? Many exclamation points, question mark. I mean, mistakes are never made when anything new is invented. What would that look like anyway? A laser beam? Okay. See, the thing about Marjorie Taylor Greene is it's not just that she's a QAnon conspiracy, that she's just a horrible human being too. I mean, weren't you the one that highlighted the fact that she was making fun of David Hogg, the survivor of the Parkland shooting, because he didn't have more muscles in his arms or something like that?
Yeah, she called him Baby Hitler. And then she also followed him down the street in DC on the sidewalk, haranguing him about how he was taking away her guns. And then she posted on Facebook, this was just the one that caught me, and I don't know why, but it was a meme of a picture of him, and there were circles around his skinny arms.
Yeah,
and she said, I forget what the supposed joke was, but it was like, somebody with no guns can't take our guns away. And it's just like, To me, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a horrific person. And like the fact that, you know, if one of your friends posted that on Facebook, wouldn't you text them and be like, dude, I think you need to log off for a little while. You're going a little crazy. But if there was a consistent thing, you're like, I think I have to break off this relationship. The problem I'm seeing is like, this is now, they think it's clever, right? I mean, this is a deep rot in the moral, you know, in the morality of the country. And these are people that are Christian people that, God-fearing people, salt of the earth. And they're getting on Facebook at night and posting these pictures, making fun of a kid whose classmates had just gotten mass executed like lack of muscles, and like that you think that's funny or clever and other people are sharing it and it's going viral. I don't know. There was just something about the fact that something like a meme like that would go viral. It made me really concerned about the rot of our societal rot.
And the Republicans are embracing her. I mean, there was a story that there had been a meeting a year ago. Republicans were really concerned that Marjorie Taylor Greene was going to be a disaster for the party, but they apparently have gotten over it. And so yesterday, the same day that Kevin McCarthy is down in Mar-a-Lago kissing the ring, she is named to a key House committee, the Education and Labor Committee, which is rather extraordinary because it shows that they're kind of doubling down. Justin Amash actually had an interesting tweet. He said, you know, I remember when I lost my committee assignment when I voted against Paul Ryan on some budget bill, but Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's still good. So the Democrats, let me just read this, because the Democrats, of course, you know, making a big issue of this, I think legitimately so. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi said, what are you thinking? Why would you put this woman here? The chairman of the Education Committee is a guy named Bobby Scott of Virginia. I don't really know. I'm not familiar. So he issued a statement about this. And it's pretty good. He said, House Republicans have appointed someone to this committee, the Education Committee, who said that the killing of 20 children and 6 educators at Sandy Hook Elementary School was a hoax. House Republicans have appointed someone to this committee who claimed the killing of 14 students and 3 teachers at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School was staged. House Republicans have appointed someone to this committee who chased and berated a 17-year-old survivor of a mass school shooting and then celebrated this behavior by posting it on social media. House Republicans have appointed someone to this committee who has publicly endorsed violence against elected officials, including assassination. House Republicans made this appointment, and House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy must explain how someone with this background represents the Republican Party on education issues. He is sending a clear message to students, parents, and educators about the views of the Republican Party. And the answer is yes, he is. And I want to call this shot here. She's not going to be removed from the committee, I don't think. You can come back on and, you know, mock me for being wrong about this. But if Democrats push an expulsion vote or a move to have her removed from the committee and they force Republicans to go on the record, you know what the vote's going to be, right?
That's pretty similar to that impeachment vote, I think.
Exactly. It's going to be like 191-10.
Yeah.
And we're all going to go, oh my God, you know that she said this. She blamed, you know, space Jews for a fire. She's calling for the assassination. So it really raises the question.
I have a couple practical issues with that. I'm not a conspiracy guy. So for starters, why were they targeting California? Wouldn't the space Jews have like wanted to do the fire in Alabama or somewhere to like have her theory work? I also don't know why space was really needed. Couldn't they have just like gone into the forest and started a forest fire as humans on Earth?
You just really don't understand how Jews think, do you?
I don't.
You just are not getting it here. So speaking of which,
she's also on the budget committee, by the way. Everybody keeps talking about the education committee, which is for good reason that you shouldn't have a school shooting truther on the education committee. I think that should be something that there should be unanimous agreement with in the House. So obviously there's not. But the budget committee, I mean, so she can gum up the works on budget matters because, you know, she might believe that, you know, that the Rothschilds and the Jews are tampering with the budget. It's insane. It's complete madness.
And the reason it gets worse is that we're talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene, which is distracting attention from Lauren Boebert, who's also a complete total nut job, California. She's the woman who's, you know, pretended to be carrying the gun around. She's also been attacking David Hogg on social media. So she sort of wants to get on like, hey, I'm crazy too. I mean, don't forget about me. I believe these things. But here's the moment we're in right now. Okay, but there's not going to be any push, and I think you're right, there's not going to be a pushback. And I want to talk about this piece in Axios today, because right now you have folks on the right, including your good friend Ben Shapiro and Tucker Carlson. By the way, I'm saying your good friend. That's sarcastic. Who have really developed this whole meme now that any criticism of form of silencing, we are all victims. We can't break down. So here's the interview they gave to Axios. The verdict is clear. The vast majority of Republicans will stand firm with former President Trump. The next phase is clear, too. Republicans are rallying around a common grievance. The big government, big media, and big business are trying to shut them up, shut them out, and shut them down. Why this matters, the post-Trump GOP paint the new reality as an existential threat. The means political attacks are seen or characterized as assault on their very being. It's not a sustainable moment, Carlson said. Something will break. And Ben Shapiro says the sentiment that we're all victims is widespread and it grows more dominant with every columnist calling for a social media crackdown. So, you know, what you're seeing from people like Josh Hawley is that the worse their behavior, the more it is, I am under attack and I am standing firm, which is why there's going to be that 190 votes that will back Marjorie Taylor Greene. So what do you think? I mean, something going to break?
I'm stuck on that Ben Shapiro quote. I've got a lot of thoughts on this. We could do a whole show on this, yeah, like 300 word Axios thing. But I'm stuck on that Ben Shapiro quote that the grievance gets worse. The victimization gets worse every time a columnist posts calling for another social media crackdown. I mean, are the conservatives who are aggrieved about this even reading the, you know, salon.com column about cracking down on conservative speech online if it wasn't for Ben Shapiro himself using his massive megaphone on Facebook and various podcasts and, you know, all of his other platforms at the Daily Wire to highlight every time a liberal does wrong speak in order to ratchet up the victimization and grievance and rage among his followers? I just, it's so telling to me that he sees the people that are responsible for this increased rage and victimization that might break down our society as the liberals that write policy-oriented columns that he disagrees with, not the people like him and Tucker who are sometimes completely fabricating things to be outraged about, most of the time going to extreme lengths to use hyperbole and to overstate just how crazy it is or just how outrageous things are that oftentimes are pretty defensible. I mean, I think that your newsletter, Charlie, yesterday about the deep lie that conservatives are being silenced was so spot on. And I've, you know, there's the thing that I keep saying anytime this comes up is there's never been a time in the history of the world where right-wing ideologues have had more platforms and a bigger reach than today, right now. It's only increased over time. You know, there are cranks who have no knowledge or basis in anything, who are just trolls like Dan Bongino and Diamond and Silk and the guy that goes to college campuses and puts the sign up about how wrong, about telling him he's wrong, these other idiots. These people have bigger platforms than Bill Buckley did.
This is objectively true. And, you know, being old enough to remember this, it is breathtaking. So let's take some of the people you mentioned, the Diamond Silks, the Don Bonginos, the My Pillow guy and stuff. You know, it wasn't that long ago that cranks like that, they would be, you know, writing letters to the editor, you know, with bad old typewriters, you know, all in caps, you know, in crayon, and people would be, you know, spiking them or throwing them in the dustbin. And now they have their own platforms. They make millions of dollars. They're on social media. They're on television. They have websites that quote them and cite them. And it's just like, do people have any idea how ridiculous it is? And the answer is no, they don't have any idea how ridiculous it is because they have no historical perspective. But I mean, I'm watching today, you know, Josh Hawley is on Fox, you know, complaining about Joe Biden's executive orders. Fine for him. But like, wait, I was reliably informed that he had been completely muzzled and silenced. And yet there he is on national television, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago. I mean, you think that William F. Buckley could go on national television on a daily basis, you know, to critique the Great Society? I mean,
The National Review grew out of. It was like literal newsletters where people would mail, you know, letters to like, people would have to sign up for these letters. It was so hard to get to people. I know the whole thing is just crazy. Have you seen the clip by oh gosh, I'm Phoebe Buffay from Friends is the name I'm coming up with. Lisa Kudrow, where she mocks this. It's so good. You're gonna have to play it on Monday's episode. Where she pretends to be Josh Hawley, basically, and she's going on all these shows and podcasts talking about how she's being silenced. It's a pretty funny clip.
It's important because they really have convinced people that, and again, the real trick is to say that it's not about me, it's not about Donald Trump, it's you. They are coming for you. They want to silence you. And of course, this plays into a certain paranoia, plays into a certain victimization, but it creates this real now reflex that any attempt at standing up for truth is going to be seen as silencing. And I thought it was extraordinary that Tucker Carlson would go to bat in 1 week for QAnon, the MyPillow guy, and a troll named Ricky Vaughn, who has just been accused of using social media to suppress minority votes. So in other words, he's going for not for conservative voices. He's going for the most dishonest, despicable con men out there and saying that if you say that we shouldn't run them and carry them, that that's part of the left-wing attempt to impose a dictatorship and to just destroy all freedom. Really?
Yeah,
so that if Twitter says, you know, I really don't think that we ought to have tweets about Hillary Clinton, you know, carving off babies' faces, that, you know, somehow that's the new fascism. That's where they're going these days.
Yeah, that example of the Frazzler is perfect because it elides how outrageous the material is. I mean, this Ricky Vaughn character, I used to be a target of his back in 2015 and 16. He would send the nastiest. I mean, it was white genocide. Mm-hmm. You know, it was all of this, you know, N-word stuff, Jews, K-word. I mean, it was the most vile, racist nonsense from a middle-class kid whose parents were shocked to find out this was his alt, you know, identity. He moved from Vermont to New York, was working on Wall Street. Like, this is not somebody with any economic anxiety. This was somebody who for laughs trafficked in the most vile racist tropes online, targeting and harassing people, spreading fake information to try to trick black people into not voting. That's what he ended up getting arrested for. And that Tucker would defend this person. This is not conservative thought in any meaningful sense of the word. This is a radical troll.
No, and the for people who haven't Lisa Kudrow? Okay, let me come back to it. I'll call for it. Yeah,
Lisa.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. That's great. And for people who haven't followed this, Ricky Vaughn or whatever the hell his name is, was actually came up with this plan to convince minority voters that they could vote for Hillary Clinton by texting to a certain number and that they didn't need to show up and vote. And they got thousands of numbers. I mean, this is not speech. This was actually a plan to defraud people from voting. So why would you defend this sort of thing? But this is part of the problem that the Tucker Carlsons of the world are creating an environment in which it's impossible for the Republicans ever to have any political hygiene. It's impossible for them to do what William F. Buckley did with the John Birch Society and the KKK back in the 1960s. He's basically saying that any attempt to have standards or at least say, you know, we are this but not this, is somehow to be rejected. And of course, you know, and of course, just this constant, oh, woe is me, we are being, you know, suppressed, we're being, you know, so that when in fact you have the platforms engage in some sort of responsible behavior and say, no, we're not going to spread this batshit crazy, you know, libelous, slanderous falsehood, that it's going to be seen as a form of censorship. Hey, we have the Lisa Kudrow thing.
Wait, hold on. Before we get to Lisa, serious point? And sure, this is going to have the, you know, weakness of all analogies, right? I mean, this isn't going to be perfect, but I just want to point out that this is the same network, Fox, that I think rightly, after any period of terror attack, you know, after any action by radical Islamists in America, you know, is rallying around, and in some cases, very much rightly, crackdowns on social media accounts, you know, limiting the way that these groups can speak to one, you know, speak to one another. Right. And that's how you stop radicalization. And Tucker and these guys want to act like Ricky Vaughn is the same thing as, you know, Ramesh Panuru's column on nationalreview.com. It's an insult to Ramesh Panuru. You know, it's an insult to any of the people who are supposedly serious conservative thinkers writing about policy. Like, these are radicals. We were 3 weeks away from a domestic terror attack on our damn Capitol building. And there's no, and any sort of crackdown, any sort of response to that is now, you know, something that is muzzling conservatives and inciting right-wing thought. No, look, I of course, I think that there are going to be reasonable debates that could happen about how this could be overstepped, maybe, just like there was after, you know, after Islamist terrorist attacks. But the idea that we shouldn't do, and that these people who were cheering on these actions when the terrorists were brown, now think that there should just be carte blanche for neo-Nazis like Ricky Vaughn and, you know, the Proud Boys to organize online and plan more domestic terror attacks. It's complete nonsense.
So, you know, you gave me an idea, or at least I have an idea for a show for us all to do, like a round robin show with all of us, which would be our apology tour, where we go around the table and we apologize for, you know, somebody that we, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah. I am really sorry I ever said anything good about Ben Shapiro. I'm sorry I did this. I am sorry for Ron Johnson. I'm doing this. But I will say that one moment that sort of came to mind as we were talking about Tucker Carlson, I used to be the master of ceremonies for Wisconsin Right to Life. I did it for like 15 years, every single year. And they would bring in, you know, some speakers were great, some speakers were terrible, but I would, you know, introduce them. I mean, so, you know, Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, who actually was a pretty good speaker. The last year I did it, they had invited George Will. And I said, absolutely, I am in. And like a week before, I found out that they had disinvited George Will and replaced him with Tucker Carlson. And I said, I'll show up, but I'm not introducing him. I refuse. I said, just fuck that. I'm just not doing it. I am, you know, find somebody else to do it. And so that would be one thing not on my apology tour. But I, if we did an apology tour and we like had points, I would definitely win things to be, you know, to be. I've said this
before. I don't know.
I can top you. No, there's no way you beat me.
I will concede the fight, but I'm just saying I would be more competitive than you think.
I got a card in my back pocket here that'll just, I have done this at various events and I always win. It's like, oh yeah, you are the worst. You have the worst apologies. And I conceded. Okay. So on this thing, we are being muzzled. You know, we only have cable stations and YouTube videos, and we only have, you know, websites and everything. Hey, by the way, did you ever see that miniseries about Phyllis Schlafly?
I've had it marked for a while, never watched it.
It's really good. It's really good. But you got me thinking about it, because when she's starting her movement, it is literally, you know, newsletters that she has to fold and put in envelopes by hand, each and every one of them. So this whole notion that conservatives are muzzled is so ludicrous. Our producer colleague Jim Swift found that Lisa Kudrow clip. Let's play it for people for the weekend.
Look, the fact, which doesn't care about your feelings, is that online and in the media, conservative voices are being silenced. I've said this before. I said it on my YouTube channel.
Conservative voices are being silenced.
I said it on Joe Rogan.
Conservative voices are being silenced.
On the Jordan Peterson Kayak podcast.
Conservative voices are being silenced.
I said it on Tucker Carlson.
And Tucker, we know conservative voices are being silenced.
Twice, actually.
Like I said last time, Tucker, conservative voices are being silenced.
That is exactly right.
And I said it in my New York Times bestseller. Conservative voices are being silenced. It's a point I have to make over and over, because conservative voices are being silenced. In fact, you won't even use this footage.
Actually, we will.
Bob, we both know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, my name is James.
Whatever, Bob.
The Jordan Peterson Kayaking Podcast is really what makes it.
So could I make one last appeal? You're out in Oakland, right?
Yeah.
you know, with all the things that are going on, especially as the right continues to absolutely lose its mind, you know, the frightening thing, of course, is that we're still a two-party country, and they could come back to power, which makes that even more frightening. So it becomes, I think, a little bit more urgent that California liberals stop doing stupid shit. I mean, could I ask this for a moment? You know what I'm talking about San Francisco, the San Francisco School Board. San Francisco School Board, in the midst of everything that's going on, sat down and came up with a list of schools that they were going to name, right? They had a decision to wipe out one third of the city's school names, including George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and wait for it, Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln on the list. Because they're all sitting around. You want to talk about performative wokeness? I mean, you know,
you're not even woke. I feel like we need a new word for that. We're not sending our best to the San Francisco City Supervisor Board. My favorite one was Thomas Edison got taken down when they explained why. It was because when he was inventing, you know, doing all of his inventions, he would electrocute animals, you know, to test, including the beloved Topsy the elephant. And Topsy the elephant got electrocuted, and I made a joke about this on Twitter, and somebody replied, and they're like, I will only accept this school name change if Thomas Edison Elementary is changed to Topsy the Elephant Elementary in honor of the pain that Topsy went through. It is ridiculous.
This is like a Ben Shapiro fever dream. There are entire websites devoted to going out and finding some crazy lefty who does something, and you know, some obscure person. You have some professor from, you know, lower, you know, Arkansas buttfuck university who, you know, writes a paper from some obscure journal, and you know, campus reform professor calls for, you know, says that physics is racist or something. So I mean, they will search out stuff like this. You know, I mean, they have people in little cubicles, right? Like little guys in these cubicles who find some columnist for, you know, the Tallahassee Weekly Advocate who says something stupid, and it's, you know, that sort of thing. But then you have the entire San Francisco School Board just like serve it up for them. Like, excuse me, everybody, hold our collective mimosas or beers or whatever the hell on the list of schools. George Washington.
Natural wine is what we're into now.
Yeah. Okay. Natural. Okay. Francis Scott Key. Abraham Lincoln. Okay, so the execution of the Dakota tribesmen is kind of a black mark on, you know. Okay, Dianne Feinstein?
I know.
Okay. Do you know why Dianne Feinstein's been canceled? There was a stolen Confederate flag. It was replaced in 1984 when she was mayor of San Francisco. Other names, Herbert Hoover. Yeah. John Muir, the naturalist and author. James Russell Lowell, an abolitionist poet and editor. Paul Revere, Louis Stevenson, the author, and then because they are San Francisco liberals, they created a spreadsheet to come up with the reason why they were going to cancel all the various names. So look, we're beating on the Marjorie Taylor and the Republicans, but here's our plea, you know, to the performative woke progressives of California: just stop. Would you?
I mean, they aren't even in school. It's just like, how are you spending time on this right now?
Yeah, exactly.
It's tough. I'm a square name changing squish, like I am on anything else. I support name changes. You know, there are a lot of names out there. You know, I did a Google the other day. Nathan Bedford Forrest had the KKK. He's still got a school. I think it's probably time to take his name off the school. Confederates, you mm-hmm. got me. Like, we can take off the Confederate names. They were traitors. But Lincoln, it's just you're just asking for it. You know, you're just asking for it by changing Lincoln's name. We're all flawed. You know, there are no perfect people. If you want to just change all the schools like New York does to PS 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's fine, I guess.
We're gonna name it after fruit, you know. I mean, it's like the conversation goes, okay, so if you take Nathan Bedford Forrest, KKK leader, if you take his name off the school, you're destroying history. What's next? The Washington Monument. Oh, don't be ridiculous. And San Francisco's over there in the corner going, no, wait, hell good idea. Really? Yes, hell yes, absolutely. All right. So what have we missed? What have we not ranted about?
Oh man, I think we covered it. That's been most of my material. I guess my final thing, because I wrote about it this week, might as well put it as is the unity thing. And I went after John Cornyn this week, who attacked Joe Biden for not wanting unity over repealing the transgender ban on the military. And I guess my plea out there is that you know unity is a two-sided thing, right? You can achieve unity by meeting together in the middle on things that some in both parties agree with and some don't, right? And there's this now expectation on Joe Biden that I think is wildly that they're setting themselves up for, which is that, like, he needs to give the Republicans things to have unity. That's not what this is about. And you know, John Cornyn knows that, and he's abusing it, and he's a troll. And I think it's important to call out the second-rate trolls. You know, we spent a lot of time with Ted Cruz and Marjorie and Marco, but you know, it's bad faith trolling all the way down. And so, I took some pretty good whacks at John Cornyn this week. If folks missed that, and yeah, it's just been that, and you know, looking at meme stocks. That's it. That's the week.
And memes, you know, I've managed to avoid not spending a lot of time on all of that, because I'm pretty much convinced that all of the hot takes are going to expire. Could we just throw out something about? And by the way, speaking of things that aren't going to age well, can we move past the Andrew Cuomo for Saint on the coronavirus thing?
Lord, there's something we can unite on too.
Yeah,
you know, that's a moment. That's a moment of unity. We have all this unity right now. Anti Robin Hood, anti Andrew Cuomo. If only the Republicans would get on board for anti Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, this could be a spring of unity. But I'm not expecting that.
Yeah, there's a vital center there. I think that there is. Can we just purge all of those people? Tim Miller, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it very, very much.
Thanks, Charlie.
Always. And thank you for listening to today's Bulwark Podcast. I'm Charlie Sykes. We will be back on Monday, and we will do this all over again.